I'm Lisa Stone, and you're listening to Parenting Aces. Welcome to Season 10 of the Parenting Aces podcast, part of the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and really excited to chat with this week's guest, Kelly Johnson. Kelly is a JUCO college tennis coach. She is a former junior player. She has worked in the tennis industry as in all different aspects, which we'll get into during our conversation. She runs a nonprofit. She also runs her own podcast that she had me as a guest on recently, which is kind of how we connected. So I'm really excited to have her on the Parenting Aces podcast and have her share her story with all of you. Before I bring Kelly on, a couple quick announcements. I want to make sure that if you haven't done so already, please consider becoming a premium member of Parenting Aces. You can do that by clicking on the join button on parentingaces.com. And we'd love to have you be part of our community. Also, we have groups on Facebook for parents only, for parents and coaches, for industry people. We have a Twitter feed. We have Instagram. We have a YouTube channel. So please consider joining us on all of those various social channels. We'd love to have you again as part of our community.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. All that said, let me bring Kelly on and jump right into this week's conversation because we have so much to chat about. Kelly Johnson, welcome to the Parenting Aces podcast.
Yay. Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be on Parenting Aces and to talk about tennis and just provide a lot of great takeaways for your listeners. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to have you. And it's fun to have a fellow podcast host because, like, you get it. You get how sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to talk about this week? And, you know, you have this great guest and you just want to make sure that you give them the opportunity to shine and share all their knowledge. That's what I'm here to do for you this week. You've recently started a new job with Adidas. You want to tell us about that really quickly, and then we're going to backtrack into your life in tennis.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for the intro, Lisa. So as she mentioned, I work at Adidas at our headquarters in Portland, Oregon. I'm currently working remote during this time where everyone is kind of all over the place. But what I do at Adidas right now is I'm merchandise manager in our NCAA team sports. So I focus on a lot of the key events, including March Madness, College World Series, and the college football playoffs. So, just a month into the role, my previous experience, I was in the sporting goods industry with Wilson Sporting Goods in our racket division, tennis in general, but we'll probably dive in more into my background in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And so let's just start and kind of backtrack to your life in junior tennis. How did you get started playing the sport? And tell us a little bit about how far you went with your junior tennis career.
Definitely. Yes. So my tennis background, it started right before I would say high school age. I did a couple of park rec programs. My older brother, he's 2 years older than me. Neil kind of roped me into the sport, looking for someone to hit against on the tennis court. So kind of just tried it out for more of a social, kind of just seeing what the activity was when I was younger. And then high school, I saw he went to the varsity level. I wanted to do the same. So I worked my way up over the summer and practiced to get on the varsity team. I played singles, a little bit of doubles during my high school career. Went to state twice. And then I, from there, I was looking at different colleges potentially to play or to enroll at a school that's more academically focused. And I wanted to go to a bigger college just for more experience, kind of network with other people, and just kind of see where life takes me. My background, I doubled majored in finance and management at University of Wisconsin-Madison. So I went for the big school route. But even though I didn't play on the varsity team there, I was part of their club tennis program and really kicking that off and taking that to the next level. Just to put it in perspective, it was very competitive too on the club team.
I'm sure.
I was on the board there, and for tryouts, we had a 3 or 4 day stint when I was back on club, and we had about 300 to 400 players try out for the club team.
Wow.
Every semester, so it just goes to show, just kind of being consistent and doing something that you're passionate about, which was tennis for me. So. I got onto the club team. I signed up for as many traveling tournaments as possible so I could travel within the Midwest, go to, I was at Purdue, University of Iowa, Iowa State, U of I, went all over the place with the club team, got to connect with a lot of people from different schools and see what their passions were and just kind of collaborate on things on and off the court, which was really interesting. It really broadened my my focus to not just staying in Wisconsin, but branching out to other cities or within the U.S. So I'll fast forward a little bit with college. So on the club team, from there, I got involved within the U.S. Tennis Association. So USTA, I volunteered with my experience. I thought I could share my wealth of knowledge with others, both as a student athlete and then also with those event coordinators and people that helped, make better adult and youth programs. So I volunteered with the tennis on campus, I think, to start with. For the USTA Midwest, I had really great experience, again, working with a lot of different like-minded individuals in the sport. And that propelled me to volunteer with the USTA National Committee, which I'm currently on. So I'm currently on both of them at the section and national level, inspiring people to go out and play tennis and continue playing tennis as it's a lifelong sport. So I'd say that's in a nutshell what my tennis background is, and that's also helped me propel me into the professional career aspect as well. We can probably touch on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's talk about coaching at the junior college, the community college level. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved in that? What made you want to coach, and why at that level in particular?
Yeah, really great question, Lisa. So the junior community college level. So at the time after I graduated Madison, I accepted a role at Wilson Sporting Goods. And I also wanted to continue teaching tennis. I did some private public lessons, both from all the way from the youth high school level, competitive juniors and adults. And I saw the opportunity that worked within my schedule at the time, and I applied and immediately filled the role for both men's and women's at Oakton Community College, a Chicago suburb. I relocated to Chicago after graduation, and basically I led the team. It was a slightly new program, but my motivation behind this was, again, sharing my wealth of knowledge. Even though I couldn't play on the Wisconsin team, I still want to be involved on that college level. I think that really fulfilled my what I was looking for, to be on the court with the guys and the ladies out there and cheering on matches. As a coach, it's just as competitive and just as I'm very competitive as well as my players are, but just being super excited for big moments, whether they're at practice or matches. So I did it for not only just learning more consumer insights on the tennis court, but also just be able to inspire others that are coming within the college demographic at that junior college level. And it's a really great experience, really great opportunity for high level athletes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Do you feel like playing on the club team, which is co-ed, gave you some additional skills that you were able to utilize as both the women's and the men's coach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, definitely. I agree. I think from my club experience at UW-Madison, it really showed, everyone came from a different background, from out of state or even outside the country. So just kind of understanding from male and female what the different skill levels were and seeing what different activities we did during practice, and then seeing how we can better ourselves too, as just an individual on the singles and doubles. With the club tennis, they have that world team tennis format. So they play both singles, doubles, and mixed doubles. So pulling that to the junior college level, I was able to kind of modify make different practice enhancements, as well as I also took my network that I had in the Chicago area to bring in practice people to play against my team, which was really helpful too. So it kind of gave me the idea like, hey, we can do some rotations on different things we offer in practice. And it helps us, you know, on the court, then on match day, you know, adjusting to different people, opponents and their serves, or if they're really strong at the net in the doubles game, and in all different aspects. So, yeah, I think it really helped on a diversity perspective.
Is there recruiting at the junior college level comparable to recruiting at the D1, D2, D3 level?
There's some similarities and differences. Similarities, there is recruiting all year round. It's a full-time job. I was doing two full-time jobs at the time, but, differences are, I didn't travel as much. I was more, Midwest focused, but there are opportunities for players to come out of state. It just depends on what college or university that you coach at, and what the budget is, and what they offer, and what the requirements are for the student. But I did back, I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago now, I think with COVID, I traveled to Miami for a showcase to view some players down there that I could recruit for both men's and women's. So I think that's offered too at the other division levels as well. So recruitment is just as important, whether that the high school tournaments or dual matches, having those connections with the local coaches in your area is so essential to really grow your team and sustain it. Another big difference or challenge I had to face was at the junior college level, as a coach, my players are only on the team for 2 years. So every 2 years I had a new roster or new group of people if they only played 1 year or 2 years. So you have to kind of be open to mindset, in a sense that you can only do so much and have those short-term goals, but long-term goals and recruiting and having those relationships with coaches or key people in the area, tennis clubs or organizations are just as important.
Talk about the scholarship opportunities at the junior college level.
Yes, great question. So scholarship opportunities, they are plenty for sure. So that was another benefit I had as a coach at Oakton. I was able to offer a couple of scholarship in different tiers depending on the player and whether on the men's, women's, et cetera, or what their background is, depending if they're in district or out of district. That was that was a key factor at Oakton. But overall, as a player, you just have just as many opportunities as well as you're able to at the junior college level. Take classes for your gen eds, which you already do too at the 4U university as well. So you kind of, at my school is a little bit smaller. So for those athletes and student athletes that are looking for more hands-on, closer knit bonding experiences, not just within the team dynamics, but within the classroom too. That's another plus. I'm staying local if you want to be in housing in your area, you don't have to worry about relocating. Yeah. So yeah, just those the scholarships are offered. You don't have to have, you don't have to be part of the room and board, or we didn't have room and board at Oakton. So those are both offered on the academic level as well as a performance level.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think is so cool about the junior college system as it pertains to tennis is there's a lot of networking that goes on between the JUCO coaches and the D1, D2, D3 coaches, right? Because as you just mentioned, Kelly, JUCO is only for 2 years, and then the players have to transfer somewhere or be done playing, right?
Yes.
And so every junior college player that wants to continue on with their education has to transfer. They have to go through that process. Mm-hmm. The junior college coaches do such an incredible job of networking and helping their players relocate to the 4-year university to finish out their degree and finish out their eligibility. Can you share with us maybe one or two experiences that you had helping your players do that?
Yes. That was another thing I was going to touch on. So I did a really great job of not just building those relationships with the D1 and D2 coaches and to move on to a 4-year school, but also those relationships with my students were really important, my players. So I had three players that I had transferred to different 4-year schools and play on the men's school tennis team, which is great to see. It's really great. Another recruiting too as well. But going back to their before I jump into their stories, basically we went to national. We qualified for nationals, which was in the Dallas Fort Worth, Texas area, at Collins College, which is like a 20-plus court facility. So I got to talk to other JUCO coaches there and players, because sometimes the JUCO players there as well have to transfer within schools depending on their eligibility. Mm-hmm. But then just kind of bouncing off ideas and see where their players are able to fit best fit and best recommendations for, okay, which D1 schools are offering this really great supportive with those transfer processes and et cetera. So that was another great networking opportunity. But yeah, going back to my players that did transfer to play on a 4-year tennis team, and they were in the top four level, 1 through 4 singles or above, like greater. Like, wow. They had really great, really strong players. But yeah, with them, I was able to connect them, introduce them to the coaches that they're looking to apply to, or, you know, be a part of those teams. I helped with the recruiting videos as well, which is a major component in providing any additional information as needed. I tried to do at my college, some of the junior colleges, they write different news articles or be able to share different photos or video photography to help with assisting with the player's journey. In addition to coming from that JUCO level, I know during this time, or just in general, college is a financial burden on some individuals. Yeah. So I was able to write a few job recommendations. So players out there, if you guys are looking for recommendations for whether it's within your college or you know, during the summer, just a short-term opportunity, definitely ask your coach, because you work with them on a daily basis, if not weekly basis. So they're able to see what your performance level is and know what your goals are down the road. So yeah, just job recommendations and be able to transfer. I was able to help with, you know, giving them spotlight and helping them, you know, propel the next steps, what they wanted to do full-time down the road. Mm-hmm.
I love that. And I mean, junior college is a great option. It's not a fallback option necessarily, but it is a really good option for those junior players who aren't ready for a big 4-year university. Maybe they need to mature a little bit. Maybe they need to hone their tennis skills. Maybe they need to hone their academic skills, their study skills, or, you know, maybe there's some financial burden that can be alleviated by spending the first 2 years at a junior college. So I think it's really important for our audience to understand what junior college can offer to players who want to play collegiate tennis, but may not be ready to take that next step at age 17, 18. Maybe they want an extra year or two before making that commitment, but they still want to maintain their skills or grow their skills if they're at the right program, right? So mm-hmm. I think it's really important for us to kind of expand our bubble and not just think about college tennis being Division I, being the, you know, the Power Five schools, but understanding that college tennis is a much bigger universe that encompasses so many different levels of play and levels of academics and cost levels, frankly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you hit on all the key factors there, Lisa. And even too, when I was coaching, I had always on a weekly basis, if not biweekly basis, D1, D2, D3 school coaches reach out to me and ask, hey, do you have any players that are looking to transfer? So the tennis coaching across the U.S. is like, everyone's very interconnected and knows everyone. So yeah, don't be afraid to ask questions or just kind of look in this direction, see what the opportunities are, because there is definitely a demand for players to be on teams, as well as scholarship opportunities and all the above.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Before we went online, you and I were talking about your job with Wilson, and that was something that USTA helped facilitate for you. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Sure. Yeah, great. It was a great experience. So like I mentioned in the intro, basically after I graduated from University of Wisconsin-Madison, I was able to get my first job out of out of college at Wilson Sporting Goods. So what integral or key component of that factor of me going through the interview process and what they're looking for in the tennis division was my experience within tennis. So not just playing or coaching, but just what I knew, the knowledge about the sport too. So I volunteered with USCA Midwest, and that was something before I joined at Wilson. And that was a really great talking point that I had to them, to tell them, hey, I'm knowledgeable about the sport. This is what I've seen on the courts. This is some of the products or equipment that I've identified that are great opportunities for their business to grow. So just me being able to volunteer with the Midwest, again, helping.
And that was during college, right?
Yeah, that was during, yeah, I think I started volunteering my junior year of college, mm-hmm. Just as I navigated kind of where I wanted to go after college. I thought upon, like, hey, sports is fun, and I really enjoy this, and I think I have a really great business background for it. So, yeah, I volunteered at the Midwest USTA, and then I actually became a tournament director, too. I think starting my junior year, I was teaching tennis. I was like, well, I teach all these players. Why don't I? And they're always looking for some competitive events to do. Why don't I just host my own tournament? So I became a tournament director, created my own CTA within my nonprofit. And then that volunteer experience, all those things in one kind of bubbled up to me being able to get that position at Wilson. And it's really kind of pulled me through. And as a player that's passionate about tennis, I've stuck with it because, as you know, Lisa, being involved with the USTA is a lot of fun, and you meet so many like-minded individuals that are looking to really grow the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great. So you mentioned your nonprofit, so I want to touch on that too. Kelly Johnson is like the busiest young woman I've ever come across. You go on her LinkedIn page and, oh my gosh, Kelly, you've got so many credentials up there. Mm-hmm. You started a nonprofit while in college.
Yes.
Why? What inspired you to do that? And what were you trying to accomplish, or what are you trying to accomplish?
Yes. Great questions overall. So yeah, busy bee here. But yeah, I started my Kelly Johnson Foundation, my nonprofit, in 2014. This is to provide scholarship and extracurricular support to local high schools in the Midwest area. I originally started with just focused in Wisconsin, but we've been growing over the years. So now we're branched in the Midwest, hopefully go a lot greater as the years go on. But my inspiration behind this was I had that entrepreneurial mindset. I really, when I came into college, I had a few one-time scholarships that I received from Booster Club and other different organizations in the community. I really wanted to give back and do the same thing. So it really motivated me to achieve my goals and really inspire others out there. So thus I created my nonprofit. I worked with our Lana Entrepreneurship Clinic on campus at the time. Again, just be able to network, kind of ask questions and gain that knowledge and skill set that you need to run a business. So got all the credentials, fill out all the tax information work, and boom, we have the nonprofit. And then it kind of helped out too with hosting my tennis events, because as a community tennis association, it really is good to have that community or play it forward component. So all the tournaments I host now or have hosted, the proceeds go towards our scholarship program. So yeah, since inception, we've awarded 15 scholarships, and I also created another component where we collect donations and gear for high schools that are in need. So we've supported 4 high school teams so far year to date. Wow. As well.
Mm-hmm. That's so impressive. And you have kept that going since your junior year. Mm-hmm. You're now a full-fledged adult out in the working world. Like you mentioned, you had this job with Wilson Sporting Goods. You were there for what, 4 years, five years?
Six years.
Oh, 6 years. Gosh.
Yeah,
okay.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now making the transition over to Adidas, what is your role with Adidas and why did you feel the need to make that change?
Yes. Great question. So yeah, a lot has happened fast forward over the past couple of years.
COVID.
COVID has happened. We got sports back on finally. So So 6 years, I basically over the past year or two, I also started my master's, my MBA. So I'm doing that online right now currently, but I'm looking to go within my career to more of a manager, higher up level. I'm currently a manager right now at Adidas. So just kind of finding the different opportunities and what I need for my skill set, as well as to set myself apart from others in the industry. Sporting goods industry, you can tell it's probably still male dominant. It's tough for me to say right now, but hopefully I can say it differently in years to come. With my work at Wilson, just over the past couple years, just being a team player and working in our tennis division, I realized I have a love for a lot of sports too, not just tennis, and I can have that business mindset and different opportunities to grow. So with Adidas, my transition there, Wilson didn't really have too much for me to go further in Chicago. So me just being open to location during this time as well, Adidas found me, and I found a spot there in their NCAA division. So this is basically our team sports. So this includes not just tennis, but we have basketball, football. We do sidelines and training, which is like a mix of what you see on players and coaches while they're playing in their respective sports, as well as baseball and running. So a lot more, a bigger assortment of products to look over, but I help with us growing our D2C business at adidas.com, in addition to help just the tried and true different things that you see at our big sports accounts where you see the brand. So whether it's like Dick's Sporting Goods or Fanatics, or even directly at Adidas at their factory stores or premium stores, the products you see there, I play a key role in making that happen.
I love that. Can you talk a little bit about what's involved in getting a brand connected with a collegiate program? Because we know, you know, my only experience is in college tennis, but in college tennis, different colleges have different brands on their players. And who makes those deals? How does that happen? Who makes the decision? And why would a school go with one brand over another?
Sure. Yeah, that's a lot of great questions, Lisa. So, yep, with the different universities and what brands that they work with, it comes down to contracts. For instance, like different schools sign different contracts depending, and each of them, it comes throughout the whole entire calendar year. So not everyone, like University of Wisconsin it's not due at the same time as Nebraska. Like everyone has different contracts. It also falls down at the different sports programs they offer at the schools, because that's the majority you see the business on different sports or athletic apparel. That they sell at the bookstores or at their pro shops or wherever. So within that contract, that comes with a lot of different factors, obviously monetary for sure, but then the other benefits or amenities we can offer to a school or institution, and if it's the best fit on both sides. So University of Wisconsin, we were Adidas sponsored, I think before I started there, I think during when I was in college, I think we were Adidas, and they switched over to Under Armour. I think they're still with Under Armour at this time, but there's a lot of different schools out there. It really comes down to what programs, what their business does, and is it a win-win for both sides? I can't speak on the whole entire aspect of it, because that's more sure. about our legal department and marketing, but from my knowledge so far, it really comes down to just the best fit, and if the product's the right for the consumer, are we able to help them win, not just on the field but off the field too, having those relationships, that community with the students, athletes, coaches, staff in general, I think is what makes it hit a home run.
Sure. And now with the name, image, and likeness Supreme Court ruling, are you hearing anything about how Adidas is going to be working with student athletes to maybe have individual contracts with them, support them outside of their college program? Or what are you hearing? Because there's still so much up in the air and so much we don't know about how NIL is really going to work.
Yes, that's another great question. So this is still a work in progress. Sorry, guys, I don't have a spoiler alert for you on this one, but I know it's a work in progress. There, it's a big project here. I mean, we're dealing with a student athlete, so right now, I know from a brand perspective, we do want to support our athletes to the fullest, whether they're on the field or off the field. So it's a matter of just kind of going through what's the best, practices when it comes to from them playing in their sport and not affecting what their performance is. But yeah, I'm too new to give you an answer on this one, but maybe next time I can give you a better update. But I know it's definitely a grind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's one of those things that it's just so up in the air right now. And it is, as you mentioned, so new. There are a lot of unanswered questions. Nobody really knows how it's going to play out, but it'll be interesting to kind of watch this unfold over the next year or so and see how the big brands like Adidas kind of work with the individual athletes while at the same time working with the programs as a whole at the universities to maintain those big contracts. A lot up in the air.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we don't want to step on the toes of not just the schools that we work with, but then have the best relationships with both the athlete too. Because I think the big question is too, conflicting schools with athletes. So, and with even transfer athletes you put in the mix, and what if they're, there's a lot of different factors.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. I want to make one more segue while we're talking, Kelly Johnson, and that is to talk about your podcast, The Daily Grind. You graciously had me as a guest recently, so thank you for that. It was really a fun opportunity to chat with you about Parenting Aces and kind of how we got started and what we're all about. What kind of inspired you to get into the podcasting space?
Yes, great question, Lisa. So yeah, podcasting, The Daily Grind, so how this came about. We're actually perfect timing on this episode as well. So we're hitting our 2-year mark for the podcast.
Congrats.
Yeah, this weekend. So I'm excited. So we have a couple different promotions on that coming up. But yeah, The Daily Grind, how it came about. We started this in 2019. I actually had a co-host, one of our interns at Wilson. I worked with, unfortunately he couldn't hang for more than 2 episodes. So I just kind of went full force at it.
It's a big commitment. People don't realize podcasting is, you have to commit to it if you're going to build an audience, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Consistency is key. Key to the success on podcasting in general. But, rewind back 2 years. I've been listening to podcasts when I work or just, when I'm doing my own daily grind or on the go or wherever. So I was like, if I listen to podcasts, maybe I can just start my own. So, started The Daily Grind. It's very goal driven. So we, each and every episode we sit down with a special guest. We had Lisa on our show, in season 3, and we talk about their own daily grind, their daily life, what they do to help achieve and aspire towards their personal and career goals, as well as provide key takeaways and opportunities for the listener to be motivated to work on what they're doing in their own daily grind. So I basically started 2 years ago, bought some podcast equipment. Now fast forward to today, I actually have a team of 4 underneath me to help with social media, operations, events, graphic design. It's been quite the ride. The key component though on podcasting is just that consistency, as well as just doing something that you're passionate about. So I would recommend new listeners out there, if you're looking to start your own, think about it, listen to this on your own, check out The Daily Grind, check out Parenting Aces, obviously. See if it's a good fit, test it out. Worst case scenario, let's say if it's not something you can fit in your schedule, no big deal. The cool thing is you can do it when you can, and it's your own brand. So you can really kind of, there's a lot of different growth opportunities, but yeah, going back to The Daily Grind, it really fits underneath our umbrella brand of the nonprofit, of just inspiring our target audience of the high school, college, and recent grads. And interviewing professionals and industry experts like Lisa on the show really add value to our audience. Mm-hmm.
How'd you come up with the name?
That was something we kind of just threw together. My intern at the time, we just were like, how about we call it The Daily Grind? You know, we're just grinding out there each and every day, and it just hit the spot. And same thing with the logo. I just kind of played around with, oh, this looks really fun. How about this? And he's like, sure, let's do it. So,
and so you do a weekly podcast, and has your audience, have you seen a steady growth in your listener base?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Week over week. If you listen to our very first episode, season 1, episode 1, to where we are today in season 3, definitely you can see how we've improved our, just the format of the episode, as well as the guests, and how we tie it to key calendar dates on throughout the year. As well as we've now have not just the Instagram, but we're really pretty big on Twitter and Facebook, and just being having our in-person events. I did a live show last year with one of my nonprofit fitness and wellness expos, which was really a hit. So we're trying to incorporate more in-person opportunities for our guests to get involved.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. What is next for Kelly Johnson? Because I know you're not going to be satisfied just working for Adidas and just doing a podcast and just running a nonprofit. There's got to be something else in the works. What? Share.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. I got to think about being very goal driven. Really want to just got my feet wet at Adidas, so really want to propel my career there, just get involved. Right now I'm stationed in the Midwest until our office fully opens, so I'm looking to relocate to Portland later this year. And then just kind of from personal development perspective, I'm really big into running as well. So one of my nonprofit events I host is our Turkey Trot, and we have it in November, so this is our fourth annual one, so I'm looking to maybe host other events on the West Coast side as well. But yeah, at this time, just kind of cruising through. Right now, there's a lot of things on my plate with my MBA, so looking to graduate.
When are you done with your MBA program?
Next summer, so looking to cruise through that. Wow. So I got one more year left, and then kind of look for the next big thing. So just kind of being consistent, staying focused, inspiring others and providing knowledge, helping people in the podcasting space as well as nonprofit and sports as well, just providing opportunities and connecting people together. Like Lisa's a connector, I'd say I'm trying to be just as good.
I think you do a phenomenal job. If people want to find you, Kelly, what's the best way for them to do that? Either through the podcast or through Adidas or just your individual stuff?
Sure. Yeah. Great question. So yes, I'll start with our podcast since I just talked about the Daily Grind. On social, we are at Daily Grind Pod, P-O-D. And then for my nonprofit, it's going to be www.kjfwi.org. That's our website. You can find our events, programs. You can find the podcast underneath there too. We have some merch available as well. And then from a personal standpoint, if you all reach out to me, my last name Johnson is pretty popular, so I'm going to say good luck. But otherwise, if you search LinkedIn, Kelly Johnson, Adidas, I'll probably be the first to pull up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You pop up pretty quickly on LinkedIn. Yeah. That was easy. It's such a pleasure to meet you. And I got this sense when you were interviewing me, when the camera was flipped the other way or the mic was flipped the other way, that you were somebody that I really wanted to introduce to the Parenting Aces community as well, because I feel like your story is sort of unique, but also, you know, very attainable in terms of the steps that you've gone through using tennis along the way. Before we wrap this thing up, I would love for you to share with our audience some of the ways that you feel tennis has helped you get to where you are now. And, you know, I understand that you're early in your career path, but you've accomplished so much already. Mm-hmm. How has tennis played into that? Other than the obvious, you were a tennis player and you can talk about that, but lessons learned.
Sure. Yeah. Great question. Yep. So I'd say like key takeaways on the sport of tennis. What's been able to open up is just from my mindset, just having a really positive outlook on things. So as a player on the court, you have those tough matches, you lose those third set tie breaks or different things of that. And I think it's improved me. By all means, I'm no pro athlete, but those battles that I've had on and off the court, whether it's me playing or just watching from a coaching perspective, has really shown mindset-wise is you're going to face challenges along the way in your life, whether it's in your career, your job, or in school. But there's going to be ways you can overcome them or learn from those losses. So that mindset for sure was number one for me in the sport of tennis. Number two, just having that hard work effort, that mentality. So going back to the grind from tennis, I knew when I originally got into the sport, me practicing during the off season to get on the varsity team in high school was such a big accomplishment for me back in the day. I think that hard work has really really carried forward throughout the sport of tennis and through what I do now in my own personal career. So I'd say, yeah, the hard work ethic, it really kind of outshined, and I've kind of just stuck with it. And then I'd probably say number three would just being outgoing and social, being able to network with others. So tennis, coming from my high school, I think my first started, it was a mid-sized team. But then when I got to college on that club team, I got to interact with so many people. And then now me working in sporting goods, just my network has expanded, and just being able to walk up to someone that has holding a tennis racket, it's a really good icebreaker, and asking, oh, what do you play with, or who's your favorite player? And then the conversation can just go from there. So just being able to network, I think tennis has really helped me with that.
I love that. Kelly Johnson, you're a very impressive young woman, and I love reading about and hearing about all of your successes, and look very forward to seeing where life takes you, because the sky's the limit with you. You're opening doors, you're making change, you're impacting your community, you're impacting your world, and I think it's just amazing. And I'm very honored that you took time out of your busy schedule to do this interview with me.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Yeah, thanks for having me on the Parenting Ace. It's such a pleasure to share my story with others and inspire them today.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it. To my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you next time on Parenting Aces.
I'm Lisa Stone, and you've been listening to the Parenting Aces podcast. For tennis parents, by a tennis parent. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us and write a review on iTunes. For more information on navigating the junior and college tennis journey, please visit us online at parentingaces.com. Thanks for tuning in and sharing us with your tennis community.